Damned by Genevieve Cogman. Read by Emma Fenney. The French Revolution and the English Terror. "Frenchmen, you are already free," declared the London Corresponding Society in 1792. "But the Britons are preparing to be so." At first, there were many in England who saw the French Revolution as a glorious step forward, and one which would nurture new seeds of liberty and civil rights across Europe, as well as at home in England. However, this opinion was rendered unfashionable, unpatriotic even, by the execution of the French king and by the war with France. Where previously the English government had been willing to look approvingly on the changes abroad and to try to annex some of the French colonies during the confusion, the situation now demanded overt disapproval and action. Besides philosophy and the spirit of revolution, however, there was genuine reason for unrest in England, and a desire for reform. Riots in the countryside, soaring inflation, a lack of civil rights, the growing scope of industrialization, the war with France, and more. Popular opinion, encouraged by the government, promptly linked all of these together with the revolution in France. Reformers, or anyone expressing a contrary opinion, were labelled as radicals and associates of the French. Patriotic support for church and king was shown in public demonstrations against foreign enemies and domestic traitors. The Prime Minister at the time, Pitt the Younger, issued a proclamation against seditious writing in May 1792, which compelled Paine, author of Rights of Man, Common Sense, and other works, to flee to France, where he was quickly elected to the National Convention. In 1793, he was arrested and sent to prison in Paris, where he continued to write. Both sides of the Channel were concerned about where the new spirit for questioning might lead, and, of course, other countries had similar issues. But for the moment, the focus of these notes remains on England and France. Pitt set up spy networks, admittedly hardly a new thing in English politics. See also Walsingham and other spy masters. In April 1794, the Habeas Corpus Act was suspended so that political prisoners could be held indefinitely without trial. And in May, a prosecution for high treason was launched against leading London radicals. This did not prevent dissent. Writers, theologians, politicians, scientists, and society wits argued politics and philosophy openly in newspapers, pamphlets, journals, novels, and lectures. It might be unpatriotic to publicly approve of any of the revolution's ideals or ideas, but that failed to prevent talk of reform and change. The government knew, or feared, that a new revolt was still possible, this time in England. The screws were tightening in France as well. The Law of 22 Prairial, also known as the Loi de la Grande Terreur, the Law of the Great Terror, was enacted on the 10th of June, 1794, 22 Prairial of the Year 2 under the French Revolutionary Calendar. This law placed an active obligation on all citizens to denounce suspects and bring them to justice. For a citizen to become suspect, it is sufficient that rumour accuses him. It broadened the scope of charges so that any criticism of the government could become a criminal offence. It limited trials to 3 days, forbade witnesses and defence counsels, and mandated a verdict of acquittal or death. The Committee of Public Safety saw enemies everywhere, including each other. Such severity had its consequences. As in the previous books in this trilogy, these notes are a drastic oversimplification of historical events and attitudes. Yet it is true that anyone in England who moved in Enlightenment circles or among those who proposed social change would have been aware of the government's attitude and the accompanying risks. Of course, this would have been less threatening for the rich and powerful, but for the poor and lower class, England was, after all, at war. And when a government feels threatened by the possibility of rebellions and uprising, civil rights such as habeas corpus or other laws may easily be put aside. In any situation where change is proposed, those with vested interests will always be very aware of how much they